Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
Big edition of Locked On Grizzlies for your Friday. We'll get you set for tonight's matchup with the Houston Rockets. Also Sunday, MLK Day. All the festivities, all the pageantry, all the interesting and illuminating and big edition of Locked On Grizzlies for your Friday. Coming up, we're going to talk about tonight's matchup with the Houston Rockets. Also Sunday's matchup with the Chicago Bulls, but more importantly, the MLK celebrations that will surround it, even though it's not on MLK Day. We'll talk about that. Also, a midseason look at another player. This time it's Jamichael Green. All of that and a little bit more. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in, Locked On Grizzlies. Presented today by SeatGeek. My name is Peter Edmiston. Happy to be with you. Thank you for joining me on today's pod. And, we got a big one for you because really interesting matchup tonight with the Houston Rockets, as the Rockets have played unbelievable basketball of late, except, well, a couple times against the Grizzlies last time they played, and against the Timberwolves randomly on Wednesday night. But more or less, other than those games and one loss against the Spurs, they've been incredible. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a few moments. We're going to have the midseason evaluations continue. Today will be Jamichael Green. We'll take a look at how Jamichael has fared with an interesting season for Jamichael because of his introduction to the starting lineup, his involvement with Zach Randolph being benched, the expectations David Fizdale had for him, his impending restricted free agency, all that stuff. We'll talk about that and how he's doing so far midway through the year as we continue. And I mentioned these things are going to kind of go on over the course of, a week or two. So we're going to have to kind of, extend them out. And I may do two players a day next week, something like that. But it is the midway point of the season, so I want to make sure we give plenty of time to that. And then we're going to talk about the MLK Day game and the fact that it's not actually on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. That Monday will normally, it was normally a whole thing. It was normally a huge, massive event with the kids out of school, with folks, going down there, many folks taking time away from their celebrations or commemorations, whatever it is that they normally would do on MLK Day, to come down to FedEx Forum and be part of the symposium. And all that stuff that is going on, it will all still happen. It's just going to happen on Sunday rather than Monday. And I've said my piece on all of that. I probably don't need to get into a big thing about it again. I do think that it should be mandatory that the Grizzlies play on MLK Day. I think that makes it much more important. I think TNT should absolutely be in Memphis. It should be an event based in Memphis. The only exception would be Atlanta, but the Grizzlies and the Hawks should play every year. It really doesn't make any sense for them not to. I just don't get why this has been so difficult. And while the Grizzlies game on MLK Day will be a nationally televised game, which is great. I mean, the Grizzlies have already had one of those this week. And, is it worth trading that for missing out on the day? And what really is the NBA doing by not emphasizing this game? All those questions I don't get. I know that Memphis is a smaller market. I know that you have, I'm sure, other, the NBA has taken MLK Day and certainly turned it into Christmas too. A lot of huge matchups, including, the Cavs-Warriors. But don't forget the reason why you're doing it. Don't forget the reason why this day is being considered a holiday and why folks are off work and why folks have the ability to pay attention to basketball. You know, it's a celebration of the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a life that was tragically cut short at the Lorraine Motel, not far away at all from FedEx Forum. That alone should be the reason why the NBA, you know, normally very in tune with issues of social justice, all sorts of things of that nature, that's all the more reason why the NBA should be front and center in Memphis. That was part of the idea behind the Grizzlies coming to Memphis in the first place. You know, it was really a statement about what the city was going to be and about what the growth of the city, all these things. And it really, you know, Memphis has had such a fraught and difficult racial history and continues to have, you know, difficulties, you know, with race relations. That's an ongoing issue, not just in Memphis, but everywhere in the country. You know, this is a day when a lot of those issues can come to the fore, when we could talk about them openly, when we can discuss and hopefully grow as a society and take an unspeakable tragedy and turn it into some hope. But if the NBA turns its back on that in order to just simply reach for more profits and more exposure for the already, you know, exposed teams that get tons and tons and tons of attention anyway, then you miss the entire point. And it's sad for the legacy of Dr. King, and it's sad for the city of Memphis that it wasn't even an option that the Grizzlies could play on MLK Day. That just blows my mind. But, you know, that's the way it is. Who fought for it? I don't know. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I just know that this needs to be a 1 year blip. And next year, we need to get back to keeping this thing where it needs to be and making the main thing the main thing, making Dr. King and making a city like Memphis or Atlanta or both front and center for this entire situation, because it really makes sense and it really would honor and truly pay tribute to Dr. King's legacy in that way. But since that's not going to happen, the game itself is going to be on Sunday, and I look forward to going to all of the events, the Earl Lloyd Sports Legacy Symposium that will take place, you know, the honoring of Steve Smith and Grant Hill and Lisa Leslie. It's a great group. Should be a lot of fun to hear stories. I know it's always informative and it's always illuminating. And it depends on who's getting the awards as to, you know, what exactly that you learn each time that you go. But the discussions that always take place and that are always ensued as a result of the Sports Legacy Award and the symposium and all of that stuff, it's always special. So to hear Grant Hill, Steve Smith, Lisa Leslie, to hear their stories and to have them be a part of it, it's going to be great. I mean, that's always, it's always educational. It's always interesting. It's always worth going. I just hope folks can do it, because it'll be on a Sunday and you'll have to kind of rearrange the schedule a little bit. Just won't quite be the same, but it will still be something. And I'm looking forward to hearing about all of that. The game itself, well, you know, I don't even really want to talk about the Bulls game. We're going to talk about the Rockets game coming up in just a moment, but the Bulls are horrible. Horrible team right now, and you know they lost yesterday to the Knicks, which tells you all you need to know. The Knicks beat them by double digits. That the Bulls are spiraling quickly, and the season is getting out of hand. So that's the opponent for the Grizzlies in FedEx Forum on Sunday's nationally televised Martin Luther King Jr. Day game. Now, before we talk about the Rockets game tonight, I do want to talk about our friends from SeatGeek. Man, the folks at SeatGeek have helped a lot of you, and I've heard from you that you have appreciated the heads up. And listen, I'm here to help. Now, I was checking out SeatGeek for a couple of events this week, as a matter of fact, and it's so easy. You get the app, you just download it. You know, I'm an Android guy, for the most part. My wife's got the iPad, and so either way you go, it's easy to download. It's free. Just get the SeatGeek app. When you get there, go to the promo code, type in L-O Grizzlies. That's L-O Grizzlies. And when you do that, you're going to save yourself $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase, and it's super easy. Use their proprietary algorithms to your advantage. Don't scour the internet ticket site after ticket site. Am I getting the best deal? Could this possibly be a better deal? I don't know. They do all that stuff for you. You don't have time for that. They do all that stuff for you, so you don't have to worry about it. You just go to the app. You look and you see the green circle? Great. That means that is a price that is well within the norms. It's even better than what you would expect, and it's a price that you can feel very confident with. If you see red circle, that one probably a little overpriced. You might want to hold off. They do all that work for you so you don't have to, and you click right there, bing, bang, boom. You get yourself some great seats for a really, really good price because you know that. They guarantee it. It's SeatGeek. It's fabulous. It's amazing. It's their technology, and use it to save yourself time and money. Go to SeatGeek's app, and let's just download it to the App Store. Search SeatGeek. No matter which store you go to, download it for free and use it. Again, the promo code is LO Grizzlies. That'll save you $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase, and it helps the pod, which I really, really appreciate. LO Grizzlies, that's the code. SeatGeek is the app. Get it today. All right, let's do this thing. It is the 3Q preview this time for tonight's matchup with the Houston Rockets, one of the hottest teams in the league. In spite of the bizarre loss that they suffered on Wednesday against the Timberwolves, they are playing spectacular basketball. 20-3 since the beginning of December. 20-3. But of course, one of those three happened to come at the hands of the Grizzlies in FedEx Forum about 2 weeks ago. So what does that mean for tonight? Well, let's get to the questions. Question number one, what is going on with this Grizzly injury list? And by that, I mean to say it's like almost empty. There's nobody on it except Brandon Wright. He's been on it for a long time. He'll continue to be on it, but the rest of it is pretty much empty. Deontay Davis was the last holdout other than Wright, and he has come off the injury list. His plantar fasciitis situation, or the tear of the fascia, has healed. He has been practicing this week, and he will be available for tonight's matchup. Now, whether he plays or not, that remains to be seen, but it seems like he would be the kind of player that would fit well against the Rockets. And you guys know how I feel about Deontay Davis. I like the guy. I think he's going to be good. I think he's already providing things that the Grizzlies don't have, and you could have seen a little bit of his use and his utility against the Thunder on Wednesday. Would have been nice to see him come in and be able to defend against Cantor to some extent, even if it's just for picking up some fouls and soaking up a few of those minutes. I think that would have been helpful. It would have helped Vince Carter out, certainly, who got put in some bad spots. So hopefully he will be able to return. But this injury list is crazy. And now, the Grizzlies have to figure out what to do with, some of their players. And that brings me to question number two. How much will Chandler Parsons play? Especially, given the fact that it's his first game back in Houston, with the Grizzlies at least. He's been back there with Dallas, but it's always probably a little extra emotional to go back to the place where he started. And, what does Parsons' return and increase, seeming potentially increase in minutes due to the rest of the rotations, for the matchup? And I just don't think that what we're seeing with Troy Daniels is sustainable. I don't think that holding him out until not only the second half, but really like the fourth quarter, is any way to maximize what he can do. I gather that there is still some issue that Fizdale has with playing both of those guys together, that he feels, I guess, defensively, that that's just too much vulnerability at the wing spots. And I can understand that to an extent, but I think you can soak a little bit of that up with, depending on who you play alongside those guys, what you want to do style-wise, the matchups that happen in the game. All those things could factor into it. I don't think you could take it off the board. And it seems as that's what Fizdale's done. I don't think you can entirely take it off the board because, to me, that does a disservice to Troy Daniels, who's worked really hard. I thought Andrew Ford of Grizzly Bear Blues did a nice piece on Troy Daniels and what he has done defensively to try to improve. You know, he was considered, and I suppose still is, considered a minus defender and probably a big minus defender in many circles. But I think he's worked hard to improve that. He's worked hard to improve his ability on that end and to be more attentive and to move more and to be more effective off the ball. You know, with, you know, keeping his mind locked in, keeping himself relevant on that end. And, you know, he was part of that group that made that huge run in against Golden State, and that was a very solid defensive performance. You know, he can do that. That stuff he can absolutely do. And I think if you rely on him just simply to be a short-term microwave-type guy, you're gonna lose that little spark that he's had. You're gonna lose. He's not gonna be able to sustain that over a long period of time, and that shooting is gonna start to erode. If the shooting starts eroding, then you know that's 80-90% of what he does. I don't like that. There has to be a better way. But the fact that the Grizzlies have a full roster and, you know, basically just the one guy out means that, you know, Fizdale's going to have to work harder on rotations. He's going to have to work harder on, you know, getting the right mix of guys. And I don't think that's been one of his strengths. I think the some of the plays have been nice. I think the growth offensively has been really good to see. I think the motivation of guys has generally been good. Communication seems to be pretty solid. With the media, with the fans, and to a large part with the players. I think all that stuff's good. And I think he's very bold. The decision with Zach Randolph was absolutely the right one, and it was handled, you know, very well and very straightforward. But I don't think that in-game switching and rotations are his thing. I think that is the area where he probably, you know, game management in the game itself is an area where he still struggles. You know, he talked a little bit about, you know, the fact that he felt like the game on Wednesday against Oklahoma City, he did, that there were a couple of times he could have used timeout to get better possessions out of situations, that he didn't take advantage of it. That stuff does seem to kind of get past him a little bit. That's not unexpected, you know, considering that, you know, he's halfway through his first season. But that is the one weakness that I think Fizdale has. And that's going to only be more prevalent when you have a deeper, bigger roster to work with. Because then you have to start managing minutes and you have to start managing lineups differently. And you have guys that can start to grumble. Those are things he has to be careful about. And he's got to make sure he's mindful of all those guys, and that he can use them. He doesn't need to get locked into a particular way of thinking with guys, with a lineup, with a group lineup, or guys playing together. You know, he can expand that out, and I think he will. I think he will. Just keep an eye on that with Troy Daniels and with Chandler Parsons, whose minutes, and that's kind of where we started on this whole question. You know, how much will Parsons play? I think you can expect to see him, you know, now at the 20, maybe even to the 25-minute mark. I mean, it's gone well enough for long enough at 15 and then easing up to almost 19 on Wednesday that I think, you know, 20 for a little while, but maybe 25. Maybe you jump up there. Maybe you give him a chance to have a little extended, one extra extended run in the second half. You know, that could put those minutes into that mark. I think that's where we're headed here. And if Parsons, you know, he's got to kind of look for other guys. He can't get too much of a tunnel vision of his own offensive game. But, you know, by and large, he looked much better. And he's looked much better over the last week. It finally looks like he's going to be there. So how much will he play? that will be interesting to see. But I'm guessing over 20 minutes. That way, if you gave me over under, 19 and a half, I would take the over. I think he's going to hit 20 in the ball game tonight. Final question for the Grizzlies, the most important one: can they slow down James Harden again? You look at the game in FedEx Forum a couple weeks ago, and Harden's numbers, while still impressive by most standards, were not all that impressive by his lofty standards. Just 16 points in his 36 minutes. Now, he did have 17 assists in the game along with 7 rebounds, but he committed 9 turnovers and had the ball stolen away in possessions of his, either through turnovers, they have it stolen or passing to the Grizzlies 6 times, direct turnovers. That is a killer. So can the Grizzlies find a way to get into his head again? If you remember in that game, that was, Mike Conley still trying to kind of maneuver his way back. This was pre-toe injury, but about a week or so after he had come back from the better games back, it was probably his best game, I guess, to that point, going 9-17 from the field for 24 points, taking advantage of Harden's, I think, better, his defense is better this year, and, he tends to sometimes still lose focus. That is definitely true, but he's not as horrendous as a lot of the vines and a lot of the video would make you believe. What can the Grizzlies do to keep him turning it over, to keep him fumbling the ball away? In the interim, in the games since the December 23rd matchup, the first time around, Harden continues to put up insane numbers. He had that 53-point, 16 rebounds, 17 assists, triple-double, which for my money is the best statistical game ever. I mean, to me, a 53-16-17 in this era trumps 100 points by Wilt. I mean, it just does. It's the difficulty level of doing all of that is off the charts. He's had a 40-15-10 a week or so ago. He's just putting up. And to me, and he was my predicted, he was the guy that I said would be the MVP prior to the year, and I stick by that. I think he's going to be the MVP, particularly as well as the Rockets have actually played. It isn't just a statistical thing now. It's actually turning into wins. He's making it work with the team. He's turning guys like Montrezl Harrell into stars. Harrell was sort of a stopgap. They thought they'd have to make a trade when Clint Capella went out, but Harrell has shot like 70-75%. He had a game earlier, I guess it was late last week, where they were playing Toronto. He was 12-13 from the field, Montrezl Harrell, and how many of those were set up by James Harden? Quite a few. That's what he does. So the Grizzlies have to slow him down. Can they do it? Can Mike? I think Conley looked better. He looked improved. He looks physically over. He, along with Chandler Parsons, both look much more like themselves physically. And to me, that's been the root of a lot of the issues that we've seen with Mike and Mark, and the stuff I've talked about on the show, net ratings, and how weirdly underperforming they have been since Mike returned from injury. I think it's a lot of it is the physical stuff, and now that he's kind of getting himself back and feeling better, then that should go away. Whether it will or not remains to be seen, but it should go away. I also want to keep an eye on the rotation, because the temptation is certainly going to be to put Tony Allen smack dab right on James Harden and let Tony play the point. And that has been an okay look for the Grizzlies this year, but you're still going to need that backup point guard. And what do you do with Andrew Harrison in this matchup? This is not one to me that is going to be a good one necessarily for Harrison. Got to be careful too with the Rockets. Word is that Eric Gordon may play. He's missed the last couple games, but it looks like he's going to be listed as questionable, and seems to be the expectation is that he's going to try to give it a go. He's got a toe injury. We'll see. We'll see. He's been sensational, Eric Gordon, much to the chagrin of Pelicans fans who were watching. What the hell is this guy? Where's this guy been? He's been outstanding. Ryan Anderson taking tons of threes. 62% of his shots this year have been threes. That's really all he does. But again, playing well. Pelicans, they lose a guy, he goes somewhere else. Guy plays great. Does that sound familiar, Grizzlies fans? Big one, though. Big one. Very interested to see how the Grizzlies do on the road. Can they get that win? Can they take some of that scrappy play but add a little more quality to it to get the W? That will be the question tonight. All right, time for another midseason evaluation. Today, it's Jermichael Green. And Jermichael Green, of course, his season has been, I don't know how you would characterize it exactly. It's been in some ways understated, in some ways overachieving. In other ways, it's been, you know, not exactly surprising. But, you know, you look at the story, and I guess it's best to start at the beginning when, you know, Jermichael Green was acquired by the Grizzlies and just kind of, is, you know, wasn't necessarily all that well thought of or all that thought of at all. They liked him, but they weren't necessarily just overwhelmed with him, but it was a nice piece from the Spurs organization, had a good reputation, hard worker, really good character, all those things. And he got some time last year amid all the crazy injury stuff and, you know, showed a lot of promise. But I don't know that anyone had him pegged as a starter going into this season, but just a week or so into preseason, that's exactly what he became. And he's really grown into the role. He's really grown into it. And you know, at first it was a little bit awkward and a little bit strange to see Jermichael Green as part of the starting lineup, but over the course of the first 41 games of the season, it's now very natural. And what he adds, he is truly one of those guys that adds a lot of value that isn't defined by your typical box score evaluations. He requires different sorts of metrics to evaluate because, you know, he gives you so many effort plays. Look at the game Wednesday, that incredible block, you know, that he had. You know, he does stuff like that. You know, in the very first game of the year, you go back and he played stellar defense down the stretch. You know, he played instead of Zach Randolph to a lot of concern and chagrin and a lot of questions, but he played rock solid defense on Karl Anthony Towns as the Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves, and he had a huge block, if you remember, on Cat, and kind of a coming out party to some extent for Jermichael Green defensively this year. He has, and if you kind of compare what he's done this year to years past, you can see that, you know, there's not a tremendous amount of difference in many ways. And even offensively, actually on a, you know, per 36 minute basis, you know, he's actually down a little bit. His shooting has gone down from 46.5% last year to 45% this year. But a lot of that is because, you know, he's taking so many more threes. You know, he's taking more than twice as many threes per game, and he's shooting them at a better percentage than he did last year, but it's still, you know, 35% from three, which is what he's shooting. You know, that's going to reduce your overall field goal percentage a little bit. But overall, he's been more efficient because of his shot selection, which has been a lot better. On a per 36-minute basis, though, his shot attempts have gone down, and that is very simple. I mean, you know, look at who he was playing with last year and look at who he's playing with this year. You know, he's out there with Marc Gasol. He's out there with Mike Conley. He's out there now with a improving Chandler Parsons, who's going to take a bunch of shots. You know, Jermichael Green is not, I mean, very rarely is he going to have plays run for him. He will end up, you know, in that corner three, which is where he likes to go and where he specializes. but the Grizzlies aren't really running sets specifically to get that shot. That just comes as you know, part of, you know, the actions that they're running. So that's not a surprise, you know, to see. You know, his defensive numbers are better than they were last year. No surprise. Also, he's playing with better defenders in general, and the team overall is more settled and better. But you know, JaMychal, what he has shown this year in a number of different ways. You know, he does foul too much. No question about that. That is an ongoing issue. Although his fouls have gone down a little bit on a per 36-minute basis compared to last year and year before that. But his fouls overall, he is the most prolific fouler, just pure foul numbers, in the league. But he's also very durable. Guy's setting up to be, you know, another solid player, playing tons of you know, minutes where he can, doing everything that he can. You know, the reason he doesn't play even more minutes is generally because he's in foul trouble, honestly. But he's played, he's switched on guys. You know, Fizdale has used him as an example of what he likes to do with pick and rolls. And, you know, he can switch onto smaller players. He has guarded, you know, lots of wings, lots of small players. And the thing that really stands out about JaMychal Green is his hands. He's got incredible hands. He's got great reflexes. Like, he's so quick. The hands are so quick that, yeah, he's able to get steals. He's stolen the ball from so many guards this year. So many guys you wouldn't have expected that he would be able to do that. But he just, his hands are so fast, especially for his size, that he's really a threat. He's a dangerous guy. He's a good defensive player for that reason, and he can defend bigs and smalls alike. He can defend many, many positions. I would say he can defend 1 through 5. You know, I don't know that he's going to be your ideal defender 1 through 5, but if the situation calls for it, you feel very confident in his ability to defend guys of different sizes in a way that I don't know that too many other Grizzlies can do. And, you know, in doing all these things, he's made himself very, very valuable. You know, I'm not going to say he's indispensable, but he is very valuable. There aren't very many guys on this Grizzly roster, if any, that can do the things he can do versatility-wise and defensively. So, you know, as he approaches restricted free agency, he's setting himself up for a big payday. And I think it's increasingly more likely that it comes from the Grizzlies themselves than it necessarily comes from outside via an offer sheet. I think the Grizzlies recognize what they have in JaMychal Green. No matter, you know, whether you love JaMychal Green or merely are just okay with him, it's hard not to like the guy. He's a supremely nice, very humble guy, and he is a terrific teammate who meshes in well. But no matter how you feel about him, he has really achieved some tremendous things in a very short period of time, and he's a heck of a story for a guy that comes in, you know, not at all heralded, to put himself in a position to make big time money this summer through his own just sheer hard work and getting after it. I think that's a cool story, and JaMychal Green is a big part of why this Grizzly team has overachieved to the degree that it has in this campaign. Thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to shoot me an email about the show, or if you want to find out more about advertising on this podcast, please feel free to email me whatever you want, peter@peteredmiston.com. That's peter@peteredmiston.com. Follow me on Twitter @peteredmiston. Check me out every morning, 7 to 10. Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Read me in the commercial appeal in the numbers game each and every week. Thanks go out to Audionautics as well for help with the music. And, of course, please subscribe and review. I would love it and really appreciate it if you would do that. Until next time, Thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.